Welcome to the Brown Sports Convos podcast, Super Bowl edition. I am Alex Meg McCarver, joined here today by
Suraj Zaveri,
Derek Reeves.
And we are here today to talk about the Super Bowl NFL quarterbacks. If we get to it, might have a couple guys join us here in a bit. But yeah, let's get started. Last weekend was the conference championship round. Packers took on the Buccaneers. Bills took on the Chiefs. Chiefs and Buccaneers are going to be in the Super Bowl next weekend. So let's talk about it. Let's start on the AFC side with the Chiefs. Suraj, what do you think about the Chiefs?
I think that they are a very great team, especially offensively, obviously. Patrick Mahomes, and not enough can be said about how good Patrick Mahomes is. And last week, he was actually partially injured. We don't even know if he was fully recovered from that concussion, but it didn't matter because he still hung up 38 points on the Bills. And people were saying the Bills' defense was improving. So, it's just a crazy offense. Andy Reid. We know what he's about. We know that they adjust to whatever defense they play. The only weakness on the Chiefs is really their defensive side of the ball. And that's only a weakness because their offense is so strong, but their defense does make enough plays to win them most games. And we've seen that throughout the course of the season with the Chiefs always seeming to win those one score games. It feels like their offense always has enough to score and their defense just holds when it needs to.
Derek, have any thoughts on that?
I mean, yeah, the Chiefs have been a bit underwhelming, it looks like, throughout the season, but they've always come through. And it's hard to bet against a team that has been the favorites for the entire process from the end of last year, as soon as that Super Bowl ended. Who did you write down as your favorite? The Chiefs. And they only got better over the offseason, and they didn't really do anything to make you really question, maybe a little bit, but not really question that they were the top dog. And now they're in the Super Bowl. It just kind of seems like a natural progression. They've got to be the favorites.
Not to be this salty Broncos fan who hasn't won a game against the Chiefs in like 3 years, but obviously, yeah, phenomenal team. I don't think they're invincible. They do have a pretty weak run game, which, I mean, their passing game is generally enough where they don't really need a run game. But if they get in a situation where they want to keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands, where they need to pick up some first downs on the ground and keep the clock running, I'm not sure that's something that they can do. And then also the defense, I feel like the defense is kind of a toss-up. I feel like they've warmed up here in the playoffs, and they definitely warmed up in the playoffs last year. We were all remember what a monster Chris Jones was at the end of the year last year. But, you know, the defense is kind of suspect, and if that's something that Brady and the Bucs can take advantage of, then I don't know, the Bucks might have a shot. Not that I want to see Tom Brady win either, but you know, the game is the game. We got Ethan Jobson here with us. Ethan, let's talk about the Bucks side of the ball. How do you feel about the Bucks going into the Super Bowl?
I think they're an interesting team, to be honest. I'll be honest, I didn't think they would get this far, but to their credit, they've come through when they needed to. They do have some advantages in terms of they have the first home field advantage of a Super Bowl ever, obviously limited capacity, but that's a asset. They also have that Todd Bowles defense, which as a Jets fan, it's painful to see work out that well for them. But the way that they've managed to produce, especially now that it probably is one of the things that made me doubt them, is the trouble they had with Taylor Heinicke in the wildcard round. I'm wondering, he kind of uses mobility in a way that Rodgers and Brees never did against them. And I'm wondering, given what we know about how Pat Mahomes can use his legs to make plays, how much is that going to affect their defense? And I think that might be one of the X factors, if not the X factor of the game, to be honest.
Yeah, I think one thing that stands out looking at this game is just the offensive firepower on both sides of the ball. Because, you know, with the Chiefs, you've got Hill, you've got Sammy Watkins, you've got Kelsey. Like, you've got all these receiving weapons. And, like, the Bucs aren't lacking on their side of the ball either. You know, you got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Leonard Fournette. Like, they've got offensive firepower as well. So I don't know. I think we're looking at a high scoring game. I really don't see either of these defenses doing too much. Maybe a couple plays here and there. I'm excited as I can be for the for the Brady Mahomes Bowl. Speaking of Brady Mahomes, I think that's going to be a huge storyline. I think it is a huge storyline coming into this game. They faced each other in the playoffs twice in the past 2 years, and now they're meeting in the Super Bowl with Brady having gone over to the NFC. Yeah, does anyone have any thoughts on that, the Brady Mahomes angle?
I would say that just that, like, so there's this record that keeps being broken the last few years, which is the gap in age between, I think the first time the age gap difference was broken in the last few years was with Peyton and Russell Wilson way back when. You might remember that. But, like, I think this is just indicative of, like, the fact that there's this generation of quarterbacks that sticked around so long. And also there's Mahomes and this new generation of quarterbacks that's just kind of, like, revolutionizing the league. And I think this matchup is very emblematic of that divide right now.
To talk about that a little bit more, it's very interesting to see that it feels like there's a lot of, like, old, like, very much older quarterbacks and a lot of younger quarterbacks, but I felt for a long time that there was kind of a gap in between that wasn't really picked up very much. There's kind of a Matt Ryan, a Matt Stafford, a couple guys who were maybe kind of around elite, but maybe probably not consistently there. And then you really get into, like, the older guys who've just been carrying the torch for a really long time. It's just an odd thing that has been around for a while, I feel like. And it's good to see that the younger guys are coming around, because it means we're going to see more good football for a longer time, which is nice. To get back to the Brady Mahomes angle, it really does feel like it could shape up to be a passing of the torch game, certainly. It really feels like it. Mahomes has been so dominant early in his career. Brady obviously has been too. This is his 10th Super Bowl. It really feels like, especially if Mahomes ends up taking it, a passing of the torch type game.
I think it could even have that vibe if it's a close game, if they both play well, Brady wins and then retires. I think that could also kind of symbolize, just like across the league, that kind of passing of the torch that we're talking about. I also think that if this is the last time they meet up, it could be really impactful as far as, like, how we look at this rivalry. Because, you know, the Patriots beat the Chiefs once in the playoffs, and then the Chiefs beat the Patriots in the playoffs. Oh, wait, no, actually, last year the Patriots were beaten by the Titans. But anyway, the point being, Super Bowls are far more impactful on narratives than even playoff games are. And so whoever wins this game, if it's the last game they end up playing against each other, could potentially have the final say on what has been a short-lived but fairly intense rivalry since Mahomes has been starting. Why don't we go ahead and do a round of predictions, score predictions. I don't know if you want to say Brady throws 6 picks. You can throw that out there. But yeah, Siraj, do you have any predictions for the game?
Yeah, I might hold back on my game prediction until the end, but I think one thing we're going to see is Patrick Mahomes throwing an interception. I think the Bucks have had some interceptions against good quarterbacks in the past couple of games in the conference championship against Aaron Rodgers, and 3 picks against Drew Brees. So I think the Bucks defense is just timely and probably can get an interception. I do think their secondary is extremely weak. I still think we might see Tyreek Hill put up like 300 yards like he did in that first matchup, because I think they're also missing Antoine Winfield Jr. and Jordan Whitehead. Like, their secondary, the Bucs secondary, is completely depleted. So yeah, we're going to see a lot of offense in this game. I think we see over maybe 750 yards of passing. That's a pretty crazy stat, but I think both quarterbacks will throw for 350 plus around, or 300 plus. I think it's a shootout like we've seen in previous Brady Mahomes games. A lot of points scored, and I think it's just going to come down to the last possession, who gets the ball. And yeah, so my pick for the game, I'm going to take the Kansas City Chiefs, not just because of Patrick Mahomes and the passing of the torch, like you said, but I think it's just a flip of the coin and he gets the last possession in the game and he goes and wins it.
Ethan, how about you? Who do you got for the game?
I feel like my instinct is, I think it might be a blowout for the Chiefs, but, like, the Chiefs don't really blow out teams. So my prediction, I'm going to get a little specific. I think it'll be It looked like a blowout at the half for the Chiefs. And then Tom Brady will start coming back and scaring everyone during the second half. But at the end of the day, I think I'd say Chiefs by 2 scores.
Derek, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling more that it's probably going to be a close game, certainly. The number that's coming into my head is maybe like a 35-34, real close. Maybe a 35-31. You might want to give a little bit more. Though I'd bet you that the line on it's probably like a minus 2.5 or something like that. And I feel like that might actually be a decent bet. I'd kind of take a Brady will make it close angle to it. Yeah, I would imagine it's probably going to be a shootout as well. I really do like the Bucs defense. They do have a few injuries, but they've gotten a few guys back. They've gotten I think Antoine Winfield probably will play. His list is questionable right now. I have to assume, even if he's like, unless he's like literally just entirely unable to play, he probably will. That's definitely a big piece for them. Levante David is apparently questionable, but I'm going to assume that he's going to play. You know, kind of guys like that. But if you look at that defense, it's been very talented from the beginning of the year. It's really, really good on paper. It's better than the Chiefs defense on paper. In the big games, sometimes the defense shows up. Sometimes the offense kind of sputters, especially at the beginning. The Chiefs can come back. I feel like it might be kind of a, you know, the Bucs get off to an early start and the Chiefs actually come back. Maybe Brady just doesn't have enough in it. I do think the Chiefs win.
Yeah, I also think it's going to be a shootout. I think we're looking at above 40 points on at least one, if not both sides of the game. I think Brady probably throws a couple picks. I'm with Siraj. I think Mahomes is probably going to throw a pick at some point just because of that defensive front. Like, they're going to get pressure on him, and he's going to make one bad decision at the very least. But yeah, I think it's going to be high scoring. I'm looking at probably like a 42-40, something up there, with the Chiefs. Either Mahomes will come back with a game winning drive or Brady will sputter out at the end of the fourth quarter. But I just, as much as I hate to see the Chiefs go back to back, I think they're going to pull it off. Yeah. Any closing thoughts from anyone before we move on?
I do want to say that if what you said happens and it's the final drive of the game, Mahomes going down the field, that's quite the moment for sure. That as far as the, especially for like that passing of the torch type narrative, that's it. That's what you want to see, especially over Brady, the guy who always was the guy you don't want to have in the end of the big game with a few minutes left. Like, that's it.
Yeah, that would definitely go down in Super Bowl history as one of the bigger moments. All right, let's look past this weekend, though, and let's talk about the offseason, everyone's favorite part. Everyone goes back to 0-0. You know, you got the draft coming up. The future is bright for everyone. And this year is going to be pretty crazy. There are going to be a lot of quarterbacks moving around the NFL. A lot of guys changing teams, a few guys re-signing, potentially a couple trades. Potentially a really big trade. So let's kind of go through those. I wrote down a few names that I think are pretty interesting. So I'm just going to read through the list. And then if any one of them, you know, like stands out to you or is one you want to hit first, just feel free to pipe up on that. So here's a list. Obviously at the top, we have Deshaun Watson, Matthew Stafford. I think there's talk he could get traded this week. Dak Prescott, Jameis Winston, Cam Newton, Mitch Trubisky is actually a free agent this year, so that could be interesting. As a duo, I have Wentz and Hurts, just kind of like the Philly situation overall. Sam Darnold, Big Ben, and Jared Goff. So those are kind of my top list of most interesting free agents this year. Anyone want to take a crack at one of those?
I want to talk about the Philly situation just a little bit. Because I haven't thought about it since the end of the season, I'm going to be entirely honest. But I was very high on Hurts even coming into the draft. I thought he's a guy who showed a lot of growth pretty much every year in college. Was really quite good at that last year at Oklahoma. So I didn't think it was a terrible pick for the Eagles, just off the fact that a lot of the time your backup's going to come in. Like, it happens, even for the best teams. But honestly, I think he's just also just better than Wentz at this point. I don't think many people could make an argument about that. So it's just a very interesting, where do you take Wentz? Can you trade him? I'm not sure.
Yeah, the trouble with Wentz is just that huge contract. And we talked about this, you know, privately a few days ago, just like the huge contract that he's under and the fact that if they trade him, they have to find a partner who's willing to take on that massive contract. And if they cut him, it's going to kill their cap. Yeah, I think Hurts is the better option. I'm with you there. I think they're just chained to Wentz in a way that's going to be tough to work around. Let me run through a couple of these that I think there's not going to be a lot of change. So first off, Dak Prescott, obviously I think he's going to stay with the Cowboys, but the fact that he is a free agent this year and the Cowboys, you know, haven't given him a big contract up to this point, I think there's potential for drama down there. Again, I think he'll probably end up staying with the Cowboys though. Similar situation with Trubisky. I think Chicago needs a new quarterback. I don't know if they have a way to get a new quarterback, and just the fact that Trubisky's already in the building and they have a coaching staff who's worked with him, I have a feeling he'll probably sign there again for a couple more years. Winston is one that I think he'll probably stay with the Saints. It just makes a lot of sense. Of course, that kind of comes down to how much Sean Payton really wants to start Taysom Hill, if that's something he wants to do, or if he wants to have a real quote-unquote quarterback under center for him. And then as far as Newton goes, I don't know. I really don't. I can see him landing anywhere. Maybe the Raiders decide to move on from Carr, not Mariota. Maybe the Patriots don't see any better options and they keep him around for a year. I don't know really where he ends up going. But the two big ones I think that we can talk about, let's start with Goff and then finish up with, obviously, Watson. Siraj, you have any thoughts on Goff or on the Winston? You are a Saints fan.
Yeah, I'm a Saints fan, and I've watched Sean Payton all these years, and last couple of years he's become a little more unpredictable, because when I heard the news that Taysom Hill was going to start over Jameis Winston this season, I was extremely surprised as a Saints fan, but also excited just because the offense would be very unpredictable for the upcoming weeks. But now we're looking at like a long-term solution to Drew Brees retiring as quarterback, not coming back to the Saints. And I'm confused. I don't know what Sean Payton wants in this offense. He's shown a lot of love for Taysom Hill over the years, and I wouldn't be surprised if he made Taysom Hill the starter for the upcoming season. I think Taysom Hill is a game manager quarterback that's also mobile. And so we've seen that those types of quarterbacks can work very well under a good offensive system. And I think even if Taysom Hill becomes a starter and Jameis Winston has to sit on the bench, I think if Taysom Hill doesn't live up to standards, then Jameis Winston could get the starting role by the end of the season. So I think it's going to be a two quarterback type of situation in New Orleans. If Jameis is the starter, then we'll see more of Taysom Hill as the wildcat guy, the QB power guy. But yeah, that's my take on the Saints situation. It could go either way. It's a toss up. And then, you know, getting back to the Jared Goff situation, I have a friend who's a Rams fan, and nobody's happy with Jared Goff as the quarterback of the Los Angeles Rams right now. And I don't know what it was towards the end of the season. People knew that he had mistakes in his game. Like, he made mistakes throwing interceptions at timely moments. And Walford, I think, who filled in for him and played well for a little bit of a game. This whole team was carried by the defense this year. If you have quarterback play on the Rams, they're just as live in the NFC West as any other team. And so I'm just confused about what's going to happen with Jared Goff. It's a similar situation to Carson Wentz in that you have a contract and you got to get out of it because you paid this man too much money way too early into his career after a good season. But I think now it's being shown that that season was largely a product of Sean McVay's coaching ability. So yeah, those two situations are very interesting. Saints and the Rams, we saw them in the NFC Championship a couple of years back. I don't see either of these teams getting back to the NFC Championship anytime soon just because of their quarterback situations.
Derek, you have any thoughts on any of these before we get to Winston?
The Rams. I cannot rule out the Rams pretty much ever, purely on the fact that I feel like we've seen this exact story before, just in New York with the Giants in the 80s and 90s, just the great defensive player, Lawrence Taylor, right? Aaron Donald and Lawrence Taylor are probably the two best defensive players ever. They are so good that teams cannot scheme around them. And you can't rule that out. The Giants won two Super Bowls on the back of basically Lawrence Taylor and like passable quarterback play from Phil Simms. Like, it was not good. It was fine. The running game was fine. And Lawrence Taylor was amazing. I feel like the Rams could theoretically win a Super Bowl in the same way, you know, slide into the playoffs, have a good defense, have a just amazing impact player who's going to make you plays. I can't rule them out. I can't even rule them out, especially when you factor in McVay as a great offensive play caller. If they just get competent quarterback play, not good, just okay.
So let's talk about Watson. In the past few days, the Twitterverse, the rumor mill is definitely fired up. He wants out of Houston. He's like changed his Twitter bio. Like, he does not want to be in Houston. Coaches want to keep him there. And the fact that he has a no trade clause in his contract means that he gets to decide where he wants to go. I think from the outside looking in, the obvious spots are like the Jets and the Dolphins. And those are probably the two best spots for him to go. But I don't know. What do you guys think? Where do you see Watson going? What do you think led us here? Ethan, why don't you start us off?
Anyone who knows who thinks they know what the Texans are going to do is kidding themselves. Like, the very fact that like the Jets, apparently Watson wants to go there, it makes all the sense in the world in terms of assets, almost makes me think it won't happen, because I just watched the Texans go from, oh, they're going to hire Caldwell, to, oh, maybe they're going to hire Bieniemy, to, oh, they're probably going to hire Leslie Frazier. And they hired a guy no one had ever heard of. So I don't know. I think there are a lot of interesting things that could happen with Deshaun Watson. I remember I mentioned in the group chat, I think that like a package including Baker Mayfield, I don't think is as crazy as people make it out to be. In that, I think the Browns are the one team of those like top AFC teams that I think is missing like a real impact player at quarterback. And I don't know, I could see like a sensible idea that like having Baker Mayfield would ease losing Deshaun Watson potentially. But like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know what the Texans are going to do.
I don't want to see Baker leave Cleveland just because of the Progressive commercials. Those are pretty solid. And if we didn't get Baker in that stadium in between quarters, I don't know what I'd do without it. But yeah, no, Ethan, you definitely have a point. Like, predicting the Texans is pretty much impossible. Derek, how are you feeling about it?
I just wanted to say that I think Baker in Cleveland, I think on paper that trade makes Cleveland a little better, but I think if you really take it outside of real life, it's like, but like, does Cleveland want to get rid of Baker Mayfield? Like, the one good quarterback they've had in the past like 30 years? Like, do they want to trade that? Yeah, I know, but like, also there's a certain amount of like familiarity, and just like, I'm sure that the fans of the Browns have a certain connection to Baker Mayfield at this point already. I feel like that will only grow. I'm not sure you want to be like, yeah, we're just gonna like trade the one guy we've ever had. I know it's for another good quarterback, but like, it just feels a little, I don't know.
I said this in the group chat. I just say this in that I like Baker Mayfield. I'm high on him. Always have been. But I just see them as the kind of team that could very easily top out and could just be that team like, oh, wouldn't it be great if we had been in an AFC without Patrick Mahomes all these years? And that's the best they get to. The same way they topped out in the 80s. Whereas if they get Deshaun Watson with that roster, I mean, that's like, that puts them in the upper echelon of the league, I think, I'd say. But that's just my crackpot theory.
It makes them better on paper. It does. Deshaun Watson, I think, is a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield. But I think it has to do with more than just that. Also, you're having to give up some stuff that could be used in, I don't know, it's probably late first round picks realistically, but nonetheless, you might need a spot starter here or there, and it just brings down your depth in total. There's a few different things.
Siraj, where would you like to see Watson go?
I really would like to see Watson go to a team in the NFC. I think, like we were talking earlier about quarterbacks, and like there's such a great division. The NFC is full of old quarterbacks that are getting ready to get to the end of their careers, other than like Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson, I would say. And then the AFC is just completely loaded. You got Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. The list goes on in the AFC. And so I think if Deshaun Watson can get to a decent team in the NFC, then his then he's pretty much in control of a lot. He can make some moves in the NFC and possibly meet Patrick Mahomes in a Super Bowl. That being said, this isn't my preferred location for Deshaun Watson, but this is a team that does seem to make some sense. The Carolina Panthers. So I saw them mentioned as one of like the second tier of top teams for in the competition for Deshaun Watson. I think that does make sense because Teddy Bridgewater is not their long-term solution. He signed a one-year deal and he played like an average quarterback, a good quarterback that had some production, but he got injured and he didn't really carry the team in a tough division this year with the Saints and the Bucks. So I think Deshaun Watson going to Carolina, me being a Saints fan, that's not good news, but I think, you know, you got Christian McCaffrey, you got Robbie Anderson, you got wide receivers everywhere. The offense would be very dynamic. Carolina would probably be a top offense. And then you just need Kansas City Chiefs type defensive play to be a really good team. So Carolina Panthers, if they can get Deshaun Watson, then Deshaun Watson solves his problems having so much competition in the AFC, as well as, you know, getting into his Super Bowl range, like having a better chance of getting to a Super Bowl.
I actually don't hate that. Especially when you brought in Robbie Anderson and Christian McCaffrey, that makes a lot of sense. And they've got some pieces, some starter pieces on defense too. I think the real problem there is just that I don't know if Carolina has the draft capital to give up to send down to Houston. So with that said, I think I'm going to go with the safe choice, the choice that I think would be the most fun, which is the Miami Dolphins. Tom Brady's out of the division. You get to play Josh Allen twice a year. And the Dolphins have the picks to do it. I think it would actually end up sending the Texans' own pick back to them that they traded in the Laremy Tunsil trade. But I think it makes a lot of sense. Tua goes to Houston and he can, I mean, that's bad news for Tua, but you know, it gives Houston someone that they can put into the starting role. Watson gets to go play in Florida, go play in the sun, no income tax, and have a shot at really taking control of that AFC East division. Again, the Bills are there and they are tough competition, but aside from them, that division would pretty much be his for the taking. So I think that's what makes the most sense. But that might just be me.
I would like to propose an ultimate crackpot theory. This trade makes no sense under any circumstances. I don't think they have the draft capital to do it, but hear me out. Deshaun Watson, he's from Atlanta. Atlanta kind of looking to move on from quarterback. Hear me out. Maybe a trade for Matt Ryan. I mean, that's a little bit of capital. I don't know. Maybe just try to move on some other way. Maybe they trade Matt Ryan somewhere else, get some picks back in return, trade those picks for Deshaun Watson. I don't know. I'm just saying the hometown hero comes home. He's coming back. He's coming to Atlanta. He stays in the NFC South just in a different way. Also, he's coming to like the oldest possible division. Breeze, Brady. I mean, obviously Breeze is gone now, but nonetheless.
See, I've always kind of, it's interesting you say that, because I kind of had the idea that the Falcons might be a team to trade up for like Fields, for example, for similar reasons, and that he's from Georgia. I wonder how much they want to stick with Matt Ryan, even though he's still pretty good. He's getting older. I feel like no Deshaun Watson trade would really surprise me that much, just because the Texans have not only have they not seemed to make sense lately, they seem to actively be trying not to make sense with their moves.
We could just see Deshaun Watson go for like a third round pick to, I don't know, like to someone, just someone random. He just like
the Vikings.
Like he just like, how did you guys manage to get this little for Deshaun Watson? No, I think it's a lot more possible that Fields ends up going to like Atlanta or something like that. Atlanta makes that move. It just seems a lot more reasonable that they trade like Ryan for like two firsts or something, and they're like a top five and then like a later first, and it's just like, okay, I mean, that's a pretty good trade for them.
All right, well, that sounds like I like the Atlanta theory. I like the Carolina theory. And I like Ethan's take. We really don't know what's going to happen. This is the Texans organization. They got rid of Bill O'Brien, but they've still got some interesting people in that building, to say the least. So we will see. But I think that's going to wrap it up for us today. Thank you for joining us to talk about the Super Bowl, talk about quarterbacks. This has been the Brown Sports Convo podcast. You can follow our socials, check out our website, listen to some of our other pods. Thanks for checking in, and we will catch you later.